Yeah. That's how you bring it. That's how you end springtime in Maine. I'm telling you what. Summertime is here, and the living is easy. I turned off the heating system this week. I flipped the switch. The switch is off. It's done. No more. Well, I still have the heat pump, but it's actually kind of warm in the house, so that's good. I'm happy. Good morning. It's hot and cold. Saturday morning is here. Boy, these weeks go fast. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. You knew all that. I don't even need to tell you that. You smart people. Obviously. So, last Saturday, I always start last weekend after the radio show. Yeah, I didn't have a set agenda, but I actually mentioned on the radio about I got to clean off the chimney or chimbley if you're somewhere else. You know, certain parts of Maine, it's either chimbley, or chimney, depending on whatever. So I decided there was a stucco on the chimney, and that had to come off if I'm going to tile the chimney. And I've got the tile sitting there taunting me for weeks. Got to do this. So I had the revelation during the week here, or excuse me, last weekend, Saturday. Well, I was on the show, live on the radio. This thought came into my head. I said, you know, this is going to just be a pain in the you-know-what to get this stuff off. And it's just drywall compound, joint compound. But it's going to be dusty. I'm going to wet it with a sponge. And it won't make dust, which will at least keep my wife from having a heart attack. And that's what I did. And there was no dust. What there was instead was a gloppy, freaking mess all over everything. Me, the floor, but it worked. I said, well, there you go. I already had the tile. I had the mortar. And I guess Sunday I started tiling. And I finished, and it was challenging. But it went okay. And it's done. And I'm still cleaning up joint compound that got everywhere, but it's mostly clean. I grouted it, the other night, Thursday night maybe. And it looks sanitary. It looks presentable. And, hang on here. Oh, God, I hate this studio. If you look at the headphone wire, you lose one ear, and I need both ears working. Otherwise, I'm off balance. Anyway, so that's done. There was and the chimney was in the room about 6 inches, so there was a gap on the back side of the chimney between that and the wall, and I decided, you know what, I can't tile in the back of the chimney because there's not enough room. I'm going to close that gap up. And what I wound up doing was getting a couple of steel studs to put in that opening. And then to the steel studs, I applied cement board. So I had something that I could stick the tile to. And it worked out well. So it looks better. I didn't have to worry about covering the back. I didn't have to take the joint compound off the back of the chimney. And it looks pretty presentable. And so now I'm in tiling mode. I've got the tile saw out on the porch. And I've been cutting tile for days now. And when we bought that tile, we also bought some tile for there's a foyer that we wanted to put tile down. And that was 6 inches, 5 inches by 3 feet, really heavy. The boxes, it was a challenge getting them inside. But I got them inside, put them in the foyer. And I said, okay, Tom, you got the saw out. Why don't we do more tiling? Because you just love, you know, tiling is your middle name, actually. It's Thomas Tiling Gozy. You didn't know that, did you? So I started that last night, and I had gotten a whole bunch of oscillating saw blades on the Timu, like a box of 100 of them for $3 or something stupid like that. And some of them are titanium coated, some are not. And so I trimmed out the door trim in this foyer and commenced the tiling, and I'm using an acrylic adhesive to hold it down, so I'm gluing it right to the wood. 60 square feet is the coverage for the acrylic, and the room is 60 square feet. It's at 57 square feet, and I ran out of adhesive last night. So had to stop, had to clean everything up, got more adhesive this morning, and I'm going back out, going back in, and we'll finish up the tiling and the foyer. And it came out, you know what it looks like? It looks like a plank of walnut, except it's tile, so it won't get damaged by moisture because it's the entry foyer. So it worked out well. I trimmed everything. You do this enough, you actually get a little bit of expertise. Not a lot. I don't have a lot of expertise in anything. I have expertise in running a radio show. You know, that skill is just vast. But we got to take a break. It's 8:15. Oh my goodness, we got so much. Summertime is here. It's here, man. I'm telling you what. So there you go.
I ain't slept in 7 days. I haven't made it in 3. Methamphetamine has got a damn good hold of me. My tweaker friends have got me to the point of no return. I just took the lighter to the bulb and watched it burn. This life of sin has got me in. Well, it's got me back in prison once again. I used my only phone call to contact my daddy. I got 20 long years for some dust in a bag.
Hey, we're back. When's the last time you heard this one on radio, huh? Hey, it's been a while. The Jamies from a long time ago. Had to be the 50s, early 60s. Maybe it was early 60s. I don't want to make it too long ago. So I'm not done with my tiling foyer story because, as you know, we've done this house, and now technically the kitchen is done. There's a couple little trim things, some moldings and things, but it's the heavy lifting's done. The messiness is done. We got the oak seat down on the window seat. Just some little odds and ends. So, and I just, you know, I'm like, God, this is taking forever. But it's 500 square foot room. It was, you know, this is like a tiny house, and it, you know, there's a lot going on there, and a lot of diversions with wiring and plumbing. And anyway, I'm feeling like I'm this slow old man and it's taken forever. But it's is what it is. I mean, I have to run a business in the middle of all this. So that room is pretty gone, pretty done. And it's nice. And the heat works, the AC works. Very, very good. So now we're in the foyer. I'm tiling the foyer now. The foyer, the heat is off. I haven't drained the heating system yet, but I will be. And I have to stop at some point tiling the floor because the radiator is in the way. I've got to unhook the radiator, disconnect the pipe, remove the pipe, move it out of the way, tile where it goes, put it back, bada bing, bada bang. That's not a problem. My process of doing projects is there's always a big, and this happens with everybody, I'm sure. There's always a lot of clutter, a lot of mess, because you're doing, you know, a lot of stuff at one time. So this foyer was kind of a catch-all. And there was stuff always in the far end of the foyer. One side of the foyer's got a door that goes living room, a door that goes to the kitchen, the outside door, the stairs that go upstairs, and there's a basement door. There's a lot going on, 60-square-foot room. It's all doors, except for this one corner where I always had stuff. While I'm doing the tile, I took everything out. Obviously, you want a clean slate, put the tile down, and not be having to move things around. So we're looking at it last night. My wife's looking at the tile that I got done, and two-thirds of it's done. And she looks over at that corner where all the stuff has been and says to me, that would make a good closet. The bad part is she's right. This is an old house. They didn't have a lot of closets in the old days. They used armoires or furniture or whatever. I guess they maybe didn't have a lot of hanging clothes. We have a lot of clothes, 2026. And it's perfect place for, you know, hanging your winter coats and stuff. You know, you come in, you can hang your coat up. So I got to build a closet. And it's a good idea. Excuse me. She says, well, I suggested this a while ago, and I'm sure I poo-pooed it. But I'm looking at it, and the wheels are turning for two reasons. One is, yeah, we could use that closet. Number two is, there's two walls there that are exterior walls where Mr. Foam can add more insulation. You know, and I'd resign myself. Hey, it's a foyer. It's going to be cooler. Tough. That's lifetime. Well, no. If we're doing it as a closet, we can add some. We can lose 2 inches for foam on the inside. Do it with red cedar again, and it'll be a nice space. Be insulated space. So, I did one project and I added another big one, but I don't have to do that right away. I get the floor down, and the other thing is there's wallpaper. If I'm building a closet, I'm covering it with foam, I don't have to remove the wallpaper. So I might look stupid, but God. So that project is looming, and closets is my middle name now. It used to be tiling, now it's closets. But the other thing was last weekend when I was doing the removal of stuff from the chimney. We had one of our vacuums out of commission. My wife calls it R2-D2 because it looks like R2-D2, but it's my Harbor Freight Hercules dust extractor, which is for my shop. It's not for the house. But it sucks so well. It is such a powerful vacuum. I've used it in the house, and it has a bag. It has a very heavy-duty filter bag. It's got two HEPA filters. It doesn't throw a lot of junk out. Well, about 3 weeks, or two, 3 weeks ago, I discovered that the bag had, I had taken the bag out and emptied it. It's a fabric bag. And I put it back together, and apparently it's a one-use bag. Once you take it off the thing it goes on to, it doesn't stay. And I opened the thing up, and I looked, and it was all full of drywall dust, and the bag had fallen off. So I brought it to work. I washed it all out. I washed the bag. Yeah, I emptied the bag, washed it, and went to put it back in. And the assembly where it hooks on to the vacuum, which has a rubber gasket, had stretched enough that it wouldn't stay on. It had fallen off the bag. So I found you can order new bags. I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. The vacuum is out of commission. And this is my go-to vacuum. When you're making big messes, you need a really good vacuum. And it's out of commission. The bags came yesterday. Thank you, God. This is a sign from up above that the house is a lot easier to keep clean now. Because every other vacuum we have doesn't suck like this vacuum. It is just so powerful. And it's fantastic for doing the kind of work that I do when I'm making, you know, messes with sawdust and stuff. But I'm not using it for I'm using it for the construction side. So the bags came. It was three. I had to buy three bags. I think they're about $18 each. I don't care. They're worth it. From the cleaning point of view, they're that good. It's not a cheap a dust extractor vacuum is a notch above a shop vac. I was kind of pleasantly surprised. I'd forgotten that there were two HEPA filters inside the thing, and they're washable. So this is all, and I think it's $389. It's not cheap. I think I paid $329 when I got mine, but well worth it if you generate a lot of mess and you really want to clean it up well and fast. So got that done. As I said, I turned off the heat. I flipped the switch. I haven't emptied the system yet, but I have all my new circulator pumps have arrived, and I've been bringing tables up to the second floor. My barn is basically two floors. First floor is garage. Second floor is the workshop. And I've been dragging all this stuff up the stairs, big tables, and so I'm starting to get stuff sorted out and cleaned up a bit. But I've got the table where the pumps are, where I will start to assemble the new distribution system for the house, for the heating system, and it'll present well. It'll probably work way better than it does now, you know, the beauty of a place like eBay is you can find things that are quite affordable that nobody else in the world wants. And I fall into that category. There's a lot of weird stuff that I'll buy on eBay that, you know, doesn't get bid up very high because nobody knows what it is or doesn't want it. And it just fit the bill for what I needed. I needed a 12-volt power source. And it's absolutely perfect. You'll see when we do a video. As a matter of fact, I got to do a video. There's so much that got done since the last one. But speaking of which, we got to take a break. In addition to making a video, you know, some morning we should do the live Facebook thing. Wouldn't that be interesting? And no, I don't sit here and pick my nose. So that's, you know, of course it might ruin your breakfast. Otherwise, just watching what goes on. But we got to take a break. Like I say, we'll be back in just a moment. It is hot and cold. It is Saturday morning. Summertime in the city, baby.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead. Walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here.
She comes back. Hi, hi, hi.
We're back. It is 8:34, hot and cold Saturday morning. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line is 601-207-4478. If you'd like to message or text. If you're not out mowing the lawn or doing all the fun summertime things, checking for ticks and the rest, I've started using permethrin on my pantaloons, which Pete has used for the whole season so far, and clued me into the fact that he had a couple of cans at the office. So we'll see how that works out. So far, it's good. No ticks, no nothing. So let's see. Oh, so the other project, there so many concurrent projects. I thought the attention deficit aspect of what I do has lessened, but with the warm weather and being able to work outdoors more and getting wrapping up the kitchen, which is a livability thing for the house, I need to be doing stuff outdoors. And one of the things we're doing is covering the fascia and soffit with metal. And we started doing that yesterday just to see how it went. And it went very well. We stopped because everything was still kind of wet and slippery, but Pete and I went over and did some, and a lot of it I can do by myself, and we'll do that in my spare time. And also we'll be doing some residing, and I'm kind of looking forward to that. I think I mentioned we'll probably be using there's so many options for siding, but considering this is an 1860s house, and part of it is okay, part of it needs to be resided. I think we're going to use pre-prime pine clapboards from our friends at Robbins Lumber. We'll get them from our other friends at Hammond Lumber, who supply us with Robbins fine products. So that will be that'll be fun. And then if it's raining and I'm not working on the heating system, the living room is the next room we'll be attacking in terms of getting a floor down. We're not a lot to do in the living room. The big project in the living room was windows. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five windows in the living room. It's actually more windows. There's 8 windows in the kitchen, which is probably a little smaller than the living room. Anyway, those windows have already been replaced in the living room, so the only thing we need to do is the floor, which is the big project, and the walls, just painting, except for the fact that the whole living room has been, I call it stuccoed. It isn't stucco, but it's this thing that I took off the chimney, which is the drywall that's flipped up to look like stucco. Which, you know, if I lived in an adobe house in New Mexico, that would be appropriate. But an old house that maybe was a sea captain's house from 1860 on the coast of Maine, come on. So I've got to sand all that down. And the good news is it doesn't take too long to sand it down because it's drywall compound. The better news is now that the R2-D2 Hercules dust extractor is back in commission, I can move pretty quickly in terms of knocking down the irregularity of faux stucco. And I do have a big ceiling sander, drywall sander. You know, it's 10 inches in diameter. And you can hook a dust extractor to that. Or I can use I have a small, I guess it's a 5-inch Ryobi hand sander. It's cordless. And I found that to be easier to work with. I can move quickly. So that will start to happen, you know, if it's rainy out. And, you know, I was looking at the weather yesterday. Or no, Thursday. It was raining on Thursday. And the weather online, you know, on your phone is always kind of weird or doesn't match up with reality. So I'm looking at the weather. It's raining Thursday. It's supposed to rain on Friday, which it really kind of didn't do. It's supposed to rain today. It's supposed to rain tomorrow. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday. Next Wednesday is not supposed to rain. It's going to be cloudy or something. And then it's going to rain Thursday, Friday. Come on. I don't think so. We'll see how that plays out. If it does, I'll be standing in the living room. Looking forward to that. I have spent a week where I've not been in the basement. We had a problem with internet, and we were dealing with really slow, pass-through or rates of transfer rates on the Wi-Fi, and realized that we were passing through too many walls. So I uprooted all our internet stuff, which was in the back of the house, set it up in the living room. It was a big mishmash. You know what it's like if you got a router and stuff, and we got the phone hooked up to it. So I threw all that into the living room, set it up. Everything's fine. The internet's working great. The one thing I wound up doing in the basement in the last week was transferring all that down to the basement. Basement stairs, there was a shelf. Put everything there. It's accessible, and it is not in the way for just coming and going. Got it out of our faces, so we got that. Let's see. Okay, somebody sent me a Facebook thing. I kind of can't do that when we're dealing with the radio show. But I will look at it during the break just because you sent it to me. Let's see. A phone number is 1-800-966-1039. A text line 601-207-4478. Question came in. Have you looked into who built the house? I have not. I am in contact with the previous owners, the folks we bought the house from, which it was their parents' house. The mom passed away around 2015, so it was vacant for, 10 years, 11 years? They would come and stay for a little while, and then, but it was a summer kind of thing. And the people I'm dealing with are down, I think, in South Carolina. And one of the heirs, if you will, to the house was associated with Jim Henson and the Muppets. He's a puppeteer, of all things. I have seen some pictures of the house before we bought it, and they emptied it out last summer. And I saw the people who say, "Oh, we'll get all the junk out of your house." And I do know an auctioneer who got a lot of the antiques out, and I didn't know that was even happening, or I would have liked to have gotten some of the, some things to keep in the house, but that didn't happen. And we came from a 1,100 square foot house, and this place is like 3,000 square feet. The good news is that upstairs is 38 banjos, so I got plenty of room for banjos in the heated space of the house. And I hope to find out more. I did ask them to anything they know. They've owned it since the 80s. Maybe they have a clue, and I have not checked with the historic folks, who I will check with. It's one of two things. It was either a sea captain's house or it was a parsonage. I'm pretty sure about that. Cat 5, cabled Wi-Fi extender is a great solution, too. Yeah, I did try a Wi-Fi extender, a wireless one. It worked a little bit. If you're doing a Cat 5 cabled extender, I just moved the whole shoot and match. I had plenty of coax in the basement, so I could just put the modem and the Wi-Fi router right together. But yeah, I also picked up a different router to try, and it turned out it was not compatible with Spectrum, which I thought was interesting. You would think that everything would be, Spectrum's not a, Mickey Mouse company. Maybe they are, but they're not a small company by any stretch. And so I sent it back, and I thought it was me. At some point when my kids were small, you know, I've had Apple computers since about 1985, you know, Macintosh computers all the way through. And I used to sell them, you know, at some point. And I remember showing the kids how to use the computer. They're very easy to, very intuitive. And things are to a point now where, you know, and maybe just because I'm old, but I sit down and you know, I've put routers in before, and they're kind of plug and play. You know, you have to set a few things up. You have to sign in. And this one was anything but. And I'm just questioning my sanity. Have I completely lost my mind? So I have to bring one of my kids over and say, will you look at this and tell me what I'm doing wrong? And the good news was I haven't lost my sanity. Well, not all of it. But some of it is, it just wasn't, it wasn't compatible. And we had to find that online. Did I check with Renewal by Anderson for my windows? I did not. Basically because they are an installation company. I've got Matthews Brothers Windows from Hammond Lumber. Very good price. I know they were less than having them, way less than having them installed. And I have other friends who have had similar experience, but you know what? If you don't want to be messing with windows, they're there, and they've got a good product. I'm really impressed with Matthews Brothers. They make a fine quality window as well, and that's what I'll be using for the rest of the house. I've got another, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, something like that to put in, and they've just, I'm old enough to remember when Matthews Brothers just made wooden windows. And I was on the air at the point where we had the conversation, why you guys make vinyl windows? And, you know, they were married to the what the company did for years, which was a fine, excellent, beautiful wooden window. And vinyl was, you know, didn't seem to make sense to them. That was 30 years ago. At some point, they started making vinyl windows, and I've watched every step of the way because I think a vinyl window is a great product. They've gotten to this point now where they're making some outstanding products. And just get online and look. It's worth a look-see. Let's see. One of the cars I've been working on this week, we've actually been making progress on getting cars ready. Had some. I had a part. I needed a. I'm working on a Lexus LS460. If you're not familiar with that, that's the one that's built like a brick. You know what? Somebody ran over like something like a big rock, and they took out the bottom core support for the radiator and hit the radiator as well. So. Turns out this is an all-wheel drive car, and the particular model it was, which was all-wheel drive, not air suspension, some of them have air suspension, was very hard to find the parts for. I'm also replacing steering rack and a subframe, but I'm not doing that. I'm giving that to one of my mechanics. But the core support I can do. And it was just the support itself got chewed up. And I took the old one off. And I've got the radiator and I've got the condenser. And I've had them for 3 weeks. Ordered the core support. Bottom core, you know, it's just a cross piece the radiator sits in. It's a common thing. All cars have these. And I found the part in California, a place in California had it. And they sent, it was like $100. And they sent it to me, United States Postal Service. And you know where I'm going with this. It is since June 6th. Is in Jersey City, New Jersey. And it has sat there, not moving. And finally, I contacted the seller. They gave me a refund the other day. and which I wasn't asking for a refund. I just wanted them to, where they shipped the thing out, light a fire under somebody's tuchus and get it coming to me. And I've dealt with this. If you deal with any number of things being delivered to you, the Postal Service, and I love the Postal Service. My stepfather worked for the Postal Service for many years. I know many fine people who work at the Postal Service. I don't in any way slight any of the people who I deal with from the U.S. Postal Service. They're all fine, hardworking folks. But somebody's screwing up big time. Anytime they hit a place like Jersey City in this case, or Southern Maine, or Springfield, Mass., it's a black hole. So the I don't know if I found another piece. I actually found it for less money. So I actually made money in the process, although I don't have the part yet. And I'm hoping, I don't know how they shipped it. But man, come on. You know, it's 2026. This should be getting better, not worse. But it's maybe next week. I've had the car on the lift for 3 weeks. I'm not taking the car off the lift because it isn't that maneuverable in the current state. It was a salvage vehicle, but it's a very high end. If you know anything about Lexuses, you know this is the tank version of the Lexus, and it's staying there till I get the part. There's a principle. There's a principle here. No, it ain't coming off the lift. I'm just not going to do it. So the other car I had, which was not a Lexus, was Toyota. There was a red box underneath the passenger seat, and I could see big wires go into it. And I thought it was some kind of subwoofer amplifier or something. There's no subwoofer amplifier I could see, subwoofer I could see. So I pulled the seat off the other day, and I found it's a inverter, a 12-volt, 110-volt, 1,000-watt inverter somebody had put in and abandoned. So there's cut wires everywhere. So I wound up unwiring all this stuff that was, you see stout wires, and they're red and white, and black. You know, it's positive, negative, and they're hanging there. You can't. I can't leave those like that. I've got to chase them down and make sure that everything is secure, the car is safe. So I spent a fair bit of time undoing the stuff that somebody did. I deal with this a lot with radios, that's always in. Or a remote car starter. If somebody loses the fob for a remote car starter, I now have a car with the remote starter that is inactive. And if you ever look under the dash, if you have one put in, it's a huge mishmash of wiring. And I'm not comfortable leaving that stuff in if it don't work or I don't have the fob for it. So it usually comes out. And that's fun. You know, if you want to have a good time, you get on your back, open the car door, lay on your back upside down, and try to figure this out. And your back will speak to you in many wonderful ways. It will speak to you in a language that only Advil understands. So anyway, let's see. What do we got? I guess we're going to have to take a break. It's 8:53. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line is 601-207-4478. Got some heat pump stories coming up for next hour, and we got Pete coming as well. He's a little bit disappointed. He did not see his name anywhere in any of the ranked choice voting, but you know, I think he can live through it. So we'll talk to him. He's probably got some. I know he's got some car reports for you as well. And I'm sorry, I hit the microphone. But we'll see how that plays out. We'll talk about sills a little bit. Sills, house sills. And that's another project. That's something to look forward to. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an interesting project, replacing sills. And I guess we're going to have to dig it up and replace it. It's going to be fine. I tell you, do I have time? I got about a minute for you. What's you're on the air. Hello?
Hi, I just quick question.
Yeah.
My wife had a 2012 Prius.
Mm-hmm.
Started leaking antifreeze. I took it to somebody that I know and said that one thing he does is take the plugs out and the head gasket and put some type of stop leak in there, and it might get a year or two out of it. I don't know if you have any
suggestions. Yeah, don't do
no?
it. Yeah, do a head gasket.
No.
We're 2012. If you don't have rust, do the head gasket, but it should be about $2,000 at the most.
Yeah.
So if you're getting quotes higher than that, don't. But it, you know, you put stop, you put something in like that. I'm not comfortable with it. I've had the experience, and it's never been a positive one. And I've dealt with it a few times, and then I said, you know what, no mas. We're just going to do the head gasket. It ain't cheap, but it's cheaper than a new car. So we got to go. We'll be back in a little bit. Okay, I get around too. Sometimes, not as much as I used to, but anyways, hot and cold Saturday morning, hour number two. We made it through the first hour okay. We're in the second hour. I just want to go back to the call we had at the end of the hour there. A fellow with a 2012 Prius that's consuming antifreeze. In 2010, Toyota made a change on their head gasket. Cars prior to 2010 were very bulletproof engines. And really post 2010 for a couple of years, those were good engines too, but the head gasket was changed. And usually they let go maybe in the 200,000 mile range. That's not the worst thing in the world. You should not drive it for a long time if you know the head gasket. If it's consuming antifreeze, it's obvious it's going somewhere, and it's going to be leaking from the head gasket for the most likely situation. And it's easy enough for a qualified mechanic to diagnose that. Magic potions just don't do the trick. You have an engine needs a head gasket. If you ignore that, you're going to warp the head, and then you need an engine. So it goes to maybe a $1,500 to $2,500, $2,000 being the average, maybe, to $4,000 because you're replacing the engine with a quality used engine. Still not bad. I mean, you know, if you looked at the price of cars, my rule of thumb is if there's minimal rust, no horrible rust, it's worth doing. Because they're pretty reliable cars. And once that issue is gone, it ain't coming back. We use a Felpro replacement gasket along with Felpro head bolts. Any other aftermarket head gaskets, I just don't trust. I've not had good experience. Velpro stands the test. And I remember a few years ago, Toyota didn't have, they ran out of head bolts. And they wound up buying them from Velpro. I take that as a good sign. So, but it's worth doing if and it's a pretty standard head gasket change. It's not a there's nothing different doing that engine as to doing a say a Corolla. The electronic part of it, the hybrid part, doesn't get in the way. So you're just doing a standard head gasket. Obviously, you check the head to make sure it's not warped. And usual routine in terms of how this problem manifests itself. Is the car consuming antifreeze? That's pretty blatant. But also, one that's a little more subtle, sometimes shows before it consumes any great volume of antifreeze, is it'll rattle when you start it up first thing in the morning. And first thing you do there is you change the plugs just to make sure, eliminate that potential problem. But that's been my experience, and it's a relative thing. You may not be able to recognize it yourself, but if there's a tremendous amount of pressure in the coolant system when you open the cap on the overflow, that's another good sign that you've got a head gasket issue. And you're leaking antifreeze into the cylinders, and what's happening when it rattles, it's burning off that antifreeze for a few minutes, and then it runs okay. If that's happening, you don't ignore it. You have a little bit of time. But if you push it too hard, you're going to ruin the engine. And then, not good. We've tried additives, and they just don't do a good job. And they can cause more issues than solve them. We've had them where they've actually messed up the heating system. If you're putting it into the antifreeze side of things, which is typically where you'd be putting an antifreeze in. Or an additive in. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. So back to house stuff. the project house that we're working on has a long L in the back, a single-story L. And the furthest back part of it has what is our laundry room. And that laundry room has got two doors going to it. One is a failed patio door that has really failed badly. And the glass is gone. And the other was just an entry door, probably from the 1800s, that leaked like a sieve. It's just cold air coming in. And back in January when we got the house, I replaced that door because there was so much cold air coming in. And I noticed it at the time when I did it, and it has not gotten better, but I had to do something and obviously did that. And on both these doors, interesting problem. And that is there's sill damage on both doors, directly underneath the doors. They weren't put in properly. The patio door, the sliding glass door, is a hot mess. And the regular entry door I put in, when I put it in, I could see the sill was pretty well shot. It's January, I got a hole in the wall. What do? You put the door in, foam it, and plan on taking it out. And my wife noticed that it was wet around that door because it's a mess. So I think the remediation in this case, because there are decks adjacent to both these, it could require the deck has to come out. I think this will be accessible from the top side. Take the door out, cut down through the subfloor is not in great shape, and just see how far it spreads and see if we can work it from the room side. I'm not sure that's going to happen. I'm not sure it's going to work, but that's the do the least harm approach, just to see if we can get into it. Replace with pressure treated, rebuild it with pressure treated. The big thing in 2026, and it's been this way for probably 20 years, is when you put a door in, you flash it properly. And you're using ice and water shield and you're sealing to make sure that water is not leaking in around the edges and cold air is not leaking in or hot air leaking out around the edges. So that'll be part of the process when we get to it. And I'm not sure when that process is going to be, but it's coming up pretty quick because I can't let it go too far. This is the season. After tomorrow, the days are getting shorter. So that's not a good sign. That means trouble. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yes, Tom. I have a question about the auctions that they have out there at Tilton's.
Yeah.
Have you ever had any experience or do you know anybody that's ever bought any of those little Chinese mini backhoes at all?
I don't. I had a friend that had a Kubota version, which obviously is a high quality one. I've been watching because they have an auction coming up, I think, on Wednesday, a small auction, and I know they've got a couple of them. I've been watching videos online, and I think they're kind of interesting products, and they seem to run. I'm sorry.
I understand they're not like the highest quality. They're probably not the fastest and all that. I just didn't know if there was something good for a homeowner just to dig a couple of holes around the yard type deal.
I think they are. Now, having said that, I don't know if there's different. One brand is better than the other. There's a lot of brands of them out there. But from what I've seen, and you know, it's probably worth your time to get on YouTube and watch some of the videos. The interesting thing to me is they're relatively small engines. You know, they're like glorified, like a zero turn lawnmower engine. That size engine is running these things, and you know, through the hydraulics, you get to do some pretty cool stuff. So I think they're worth, especially for a homeowner. Obviously, you're not going to go into business with it, but if you're scratching around the yard, I think it's perfect.
I'm thinking that there's something cheap, hopefully kind of rugged. I understand possibly parts are difficult to come up with, but...
Yeah. There are people in the area who are importing them and selling them, and that's a value, just knowing that you have access to parts. And I don't know who's selling what's at the auction, but it might even be worth a phone call over there just to see if you can find out if it's a dealer or just somebody who had a single unit they were selling. But I don't remember. I think on Facebook Marketplace, there's some dealers in the state of Maine who are selling them. So it'll be worth the look there, too.
Thank you very much.
Okay, good luck. Take care. You know, it's a guy thing. If you can have a machine that digs holes, that's a good thing, I think. Don't you? Yeah. We got to take a break. We'll be right back.
In the summer sun, put away the books, we're out of school. The weather's warm, but we'll play it cool. We're on vacation, having lots of fun.
Back to 921. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Bela Fleck, when he was young, got to be 30 years old. I mean, the video's got to be 30 years old. He didn't have gray hair. His nose is all gray. What the heck's that all about? All right, let's turn that down. Turn there. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601-207-4478. Text line is kind of quiet today. Usually we're backed right up, but, you know, in this kind of weather, what are you out in the yard doing stuff? Come on. That's at 10 o'clock you do that. You don't do it at 9:22. Oh, man. Let's see. I think I told you last week about my Temu Map Oxy torch setup. They denied my claim for a replacement. Just the thing is upside down. It works fine. So I submitted, it said you could submit again. So I submitted again and they denied it again. I'm sending pictures, everything's upside down and okay, I don't care. Just, I'll remember you guys. So I left a review. That's, you know, I give them two shots. That's all you're getting. And then you get the review. So, I think it was one of the rainy days this past week. I'm in the shop. I've got the heat pump ready to be repaired. I've got the torch. I've got the oxygen. I've got the map. I've got the brazing rod. And I said, you know what? This might be a good time to do the repair. Now, I haven't brazed anything, any copper in a dog's age. I mean, it's been that long. And one of the reasons was that I don't, you know, I had torch sets, big torches, moderate-sized torches, you know, tanks and stuff, and I just don't use them a lot. But when you need it, you need it. And so the set I got, I kind of liked, made by a company called Bluefin, which is a reputable company. You can find them anywhere. And the torch itself was rather petite. Small flame, perfect for, I had very close quarters to work in. So I cut a little bit out of the base of the heat pump so I had better access. There was a hole there anyway, so I just made a slightly bigger hole so I could get the torch right on the area that needs to be brazed. And I had it, excuse me, the heat pump was mounted on a pallet, screwed down to a pallet. So I slid it off the edge of the pallet so I have really good access to the damaged area. And it's a bottom tube, is, you know, the fin tube. I've taken the fins off, found the damage, pressurized the thing, and it's obvious that there is something going on here. You know, there's air coming out, and I know what's happening. So I go ahead and get the, it's on the forklift. I elevate it in the air. And I said, okay, you know what I think I'll do? I'll bring a chair. I'm sitting under the pallet, under the forklift with the torches. And, excuse me, I brazed it up. And it went really well. With one minor exception. The minor exception was a little bead of braze fell. I'm sitting underneath this, right? Because this is the only place I can really get access. A little piece of braze, a little droplet of braze material dropped down onto my pantaloons, and then hilarity ensued in that my pants caught on. They didn't catch on fire, but they were they were smoking pretty good. And there's a joke there somewhere, but at any rate, I got the I got it out. But you know, I took my hand and I flicked the thing off, and then I burned a hole in my thumb because it was still pretty hot. But I didn't draw any blood, so I call that a win in my book. Got out from underneath the thing, and I. Bracing rod, I was about 16 inches long. I used about 3 inches. It wasn't a big area to do. As a matter of fact, where the hole was wasn't much, but it had been creased. So I filled the whole thing with braze, got it done, brought it down, pressurized the system. It was okay, where it wouldn't hold any air pressure before. Then I evacuated it, and it was holding vacuum. And then my friend Keith lent me some of his higher quality equipment, refrigeration equipment. And I have not charged the system up yet, but I'm getting ready. I've got it plumbed up. It's air-to-water heat pump. So I just want to make sure. I've been evacuating and just trying to get everything out. A lot of times when you have a thing that's had a leak like this, moisture gets into the refrigerant oil. So it takes some time to work that out of it, you know, by pulling vacuum. So that's what I'm doing. Let's see. We got a text message here. My favorite around the house hole digger was my subcompact Massey Ferguson tractor with mini backhoe. That thing was unstoppable and go anywhere. It could lift almost anything. I remember digging out a huge tree stump I had in the yard and rocked it back and forth to the wood line, but made it. Okay. Yeah, I mean, you know, the beauty of the what the caller was asking about, these relatively inexpensive Chinese backhoes, it's like a little mini dozer. It's a tracked machine. They use a one-cylinder engine, even maybe a 13 horsepower, something like that. They're not real powerful, but they're also, depending on where you look, I'll say they're $5,000 to $7,000, and that's the price of a really high quality lawnmower. I enjoy watching videos of people doing work with them just to see what you can accomplish. And they work fairly well. A friend of mine had one. Like I said, it was a Kubota. So it was a little bit, the quality was several notches above some of these inexpensive Chinese units. But that thing had some stones. These are smaller than that, but they still, they look like they do the job. I got another message here. I field stripped a cigarette. Field stripped? I'm not sure I understand that. A cigarette one time, and it landed in my cargo pants pocket. Walked in the store. Everybody was talking about smelling something burning. Good times. Okay. Fortunately, I don't set my pants on fire very often. So. but, you know, what the heck. Makes for a fun day. It's a good radio story. We got to take a break. It's 9:30 straight up. We got to do this thing here right now, and we'll be back. Okay, you know what? This kind of music just gets me wound up, and as long as I'm wound up, we might as well have Pete on. Good morning, Pete.
Making coverage affordable is not the solution. Making the care affordable is the solution.
Okay. What are you talking about?
To health care. Making insurance cheaper or main care or whatever cheaper, that's not the solution. The problem is the expense of it to begin with. Why doesn't anybody look into that? I'll tell you why. Because they donate money to their campaign, so they refuse to.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Under my watch, this didn't happen. I will systematically pick apart the entire healthcare industry until it's affordable, and we don't need it. Insurance was for emergency room visits and heart attacks and broken bones. It's not for going in for your annual checkup or getting blood work or all this other stuff that all costs $800 for some reason all of a sudden. I figured I'd just say it now so we can move on to
get
my
it
thoughts
off your
on
chest.
AI data centers.
That's,
yeah.
That's good. All right. Good morning, Pete.
Do you think 12-year-old you would think you're cool?
12-year-old me? God, no.
Yeah, I saw a thing today. It said, do you think 12-year-old you would be impressed with you?
At some points, some ways, yes. Just because of all the goofy stuff I do.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's fair.
You stop and think about it. I've got how many cars do I have in play right now? Plus, we have cars for sale.
How many cars you've got that I'm upset that you bought. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, there, you weren't around when I was 12 years old. Thank you, God. And, you know, it's, yeah, it's an ongoing entertainment thing for my whole life, I guess, you know, the attention deficit, had it then, didn't know what it was then. Now I know. I'm not sure it makes a difference. Oh, I want to thank you for that fine photograph.
You're welcome.
That's, you know,
I thought you
wait.
You're
going
like,
to
well,
have you.
The rest of today is going one way or the other.
You're going to have an embarrassing moment at some point, and I'm going to photograph it, and I'm going to. You're getting it back someday, buddy, when you least expect.
Tell me you didn't look dead in that photo.
I did look dead. Peter took.
Yeah.
So I'll give background because nobody knows what we're talking about. I have a recliner in the shop. And usually after lunch, when I was in the Boy Scouts, we used to, after lunch, they had a half hour, an hour, they called siesta time. And I think that's a great concept, especially at my age. So at some point after lunch, I feel a little bit logy. I'll go out in the recliner, I'll put my feet up, and I say to myself, self, 10, 15 minutes, you get a recharge, you're off and running. I don't know how long I was there for. I always lose track of the time. But somebody snuck in and took a picture.
I didn't see. I was going to do work, and then I had to not do it because you were asleep in a chair or dead.
Yeah. And it did look like I was dead. But and your mother's told me that, too. I'm still here. So tough on all of
you. You are slipping into the old man positioning when you nap.
Oh God, I know. I'm gonna start wearing a mask when I take a nap.
Like MASH should be playing in the background softly, that kind of thing.
So what happens is I get a text message. I was tiling last night, right? And my phone is beeping, and I got to see what's going on. If somebody, you know, is having a problem or something, and I look and it's all my kids, four of them, are messaging each other. And I go back to the first message, and there's this photograph of me asleep with my mouth open. And I'm like, oh, God, you know? I'm glad you think it's funny.
I do.
Just wait.
I do. I see the humor in it.
Okay.
So what else?
Yeah. What else? Happy Father's Day, right? Let's embarrass
Happy Dad. Father's Day, everybody.
Yeah, let's embarrass dear old Dad as much as we can.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
I read a thing the other day. I was just going to say, I read a thing the other day about they were talking about in the not-too-distant future, AI could require all the fresh drinking water on the planet to run. And I was thinking, why are we bothering to do this on any friggin' level whatsoever? Like, is it anything other than a novelty, really? And the fact that it's free makes me very uncomfortable.
Yep.
It's just a novel. It's just, you know, Google is a little bit better now, sort of. I don't think we need it. What are we doing with all this nonsense with the aliens and the technology? Let's kick it back to, like, 1947. Stuff seemed pretty good about then, you know? We had refrigerators, we had cars, we had electricity, we had the radio.
I think in 1947 we had garters to hold our socks up.
Have you ever worn sock garters? You feel like $1 million when those socks are pulled up.
When I was a Boy Scout, I had knee socks, and they had garters with a little tassel on them, all official Boy Scout. Yeah, it was a look. And
I was in the Air Force. We wore garters and went from the bottom of the shirt to the top of the sock. It did permanently scar your calf.
I bet.
A little piece of metal being pulled into it. But,
wow.
But, I mean, you felt like $1 million.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see
why. And it was very uncomfortable. But whatever. I mean, you looked good.
Hey,
better than people wearing pajama pants.
Totally unrelated to anything. You remember the other night you hit Home Depot for me and got the mortar for doing the foyer?
Yeah.
I ran out.
How much mortar you got left?
I ran out.
Did you really?
I ran out. I couldn't
believe it. You said you wanted a pound. I'm like, they only got a 10-pound box.
That was the grout.
The
mortar was in
the gallon jug.
Yeah. It said it would cover 60 square feet. I got about 2/3 of the way through, and I ran out. I even scrounged up from an old container I had from the other house. So
did you go to Home Depot?
I went to Home Depot this morning, got another container, another 60 square foot container.
Did you get a weed whacker cord while you were there?
They didn't have it.
What is this? I mean, it's their brand. Why don't they have the weed whacker cord?
Well, you could probably get it somewhere else. Do you know what you know what diameter you need?
No, that was another part of the problem. I just winged it. I'm like, I'm out. I'll go get it because I'm a man and I know what I'm doing. And I apparently, you know, obviously I don't. I got there and they didn't have any, and I didn't know what size it was anyway.
Do you have the manual?
Come on.
Well, you can look it up online. I've got to go to Belfast after the radio show. So I could check at Hammond. If you find the diameter you need,
I'll look it up as soon as we're off the radio. There.
Okay, yeah, we made plans on the radio for everybody in Eastern Maine and Central Maine and Southern Maine.
This is good radio right here.
This is good radio. You know what? You need weed whacker cord. You need weed whacker cord. That's all there is to it.
Did you talk about what you did for your to replace your fascia?
No, well, just a little bit.
It does look good. It does work.
Yeah, we had a steel folded up as an angle, basically, to cover the fascia and soffit, and screwed it up in place. Got a couple pieces up, and we'll finish that. Probably, I might do the other side because I can work off the deck on the other side. And
how are you going to do? Like right above the bay window is going to be tricky. I mean, there's no good way to get up there.
Yeah, that's going to be a little bit of a challenge. But I also need to go out there and whack the weeds to knock down any ticks. Although I did treat it. We'll do it as time permits and logistics allow. Otherwise, we'll get it. That's what ladders are for.
My blood type's O permethrin at this point. I'm so covered in it.
Me too. Every pair of pants I have is getting treated. Although I had to throw one.
You gotta choose your battles. I'll take the pesticide.
Yeah. So you know, one of the pairs of pants I was using, I started to wear a hole in the knee, which is not a big deal. It's just a look. I mean, people buy clothes with holes in them for the look. I got it naturally until I walk somewhere and hook that hole on something and rip the living hell out of it. And at that point, it's got to go because now I look a little really ragged. Not that I don't look ragged.
Yeah,
most of the time. But it's. I said, you know what? These got to go. And I can only make so many pairs of cutoffs that I don't need, that I don't wear. So, oh, man. And I can't wear double, you know, they sell like canvas pants with two layers, the double whatever.
Yeah, the carpenter's pants. Yeah,
and they're just too uncomfortable. They're too stiff feeling.
I had a pair of those once. They didn't last any, like, particularly longer than other ones. I think it's more like just to give you a little bit of extra padding because, you know, carpenters are always using their legs to brace stuff up. And
yeah.
I don't know. I back when we were doing a lot with insulation, I was climbing on top of stuff all the time. I tried those once or twice, and I didn't see any real definitive benefit to them.
Yeah. Yep. So,
hey, if there's an electrician listening,
mm-hmm.
I've talked about this before. I bought my Keurig died. I bought a new Keurig, and every time I run it, it makes the lights flicker. And it's not just on that circuit. It's, I've tried it in other outlets. It does it to every light in the house. It has something to do with the heating element. It's like a pulsing. It pulses to heat the water as opposed to the other ones, which usually have, they've got a little preheat reservoir when you turn it on. That's some of the noise you hear. So what do I do? Electricians, what can I plug in between, like, is there a thing I could buy I could plug in between the coffee maker and the outlet to make it not do that? As I understand it, LED bulbs are particularly sensitive to that kind of thing, and that's why the lights flicker so definitively. I'm not replacing the LEDs with incandescents. So what do I do? Do I just have to buy a new coffee maker?
We had that problem up at one of our houses where we had LED lights flickering, and in the house we're in now, although I've done both, I'm trying to get fixtures that have replaceable bulbs that may, maybe that would help if we needed to, if we were having the problem. I guess fortunately we haven't had the problem. But I think that device has what's known as and I apologize for sounding like I know what I'm talking about, a pulsed width control, and it's just electronic control that pulses, which tends to make LED lights flicker for some reason. There's a sympathetic thing going on there. It kind of backfeeds into the system. You know who we should ask about this is our friend John,
John
the electrical
McDonald.
Engineer. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He would know.
Yeah. So, and you'll get electron capacitors too.
That's fine.
This probably has to do with capacitors.
He's forgotten more about capacitors than anyone else will ever know.
That's true. That's true. So, Pete, before we run out of time, we got a whole bunch of cars out there.
We're getting stocked back up again. We got that nice 21 Corolla out there, which somehow is only like 12.5.
Yeah.
It's got 160 some odd K on it, but I mean, still, it's a 21. We got two Camrys. We got, what do we got? I got a bunch of RAV4s right now, just in time for the middle of summer when everybody wants front-wheel drive. But I got, three gas RAV4s, two hybrid RAV4s.
Yeah.
You know what we do have out? We've got that Lexus that you'd gotten for your daughter.
Yeah.
So we got this 08 hybrid Lexus. We got it for my sister, his daughter, but it's too big for her. So it's an 08. It's got 220K on it. It is a hybrid. It's got some surface rust underneath because it is an 08. We're selling it. It's inspected. It's ready to go. It needs an alignment. I don't care because it's being sold as is. You get it aligned if you want it aligned. And it's got a light on for the headlight leveler, which is just this thing where, like, if you put a bunch of weight in the back seat, it would automatically, like, adjust the headlights up or down or something like that. That's not working. Most cars don't have that, so we're not touching that either. I don't care about it. I want it out of here. It's a $5,000 car. Come and get. I don't know how long. I can't tell you how long it'll last. I can't tell you. It might last 10 years. It might last 2 years. I don't know. But it's in my way. I don't like it. It's one of these ones he bought when I wasn't here. It does run and drive very nicely. I did take it out. It does run and drive very nicely. It's a hybrid, but it's a six-cylinder drive shaft-based hybrid. So you're not going to get 45 miles per gallon out of the thing, but you'll get better than you would with just a regular six-cylinder giant Lexus SUV.
Stop. It's electric rear-wheel drive. There's no drive shaft.
I don't. It's an 08, though.
Yeah.
I don't think
mine's
doing
an 07, and it has electric rear drive, so the 08 is the
same. All right, well, this one must be, too.
And
Lexus was way ahead of everybody.
And the wood trim is very nice. So.
That's an as-is. I mean, it's inspected as-is. So you buy it, the day you buy it, off you go. Don't you call me 3 weeks from now if the check engine light comes on. I do not care. It's in my way. Get it out of here. That's why it's cheap.
And they are, it is a Lexus. So
that, I'm a good salesman.
Yeah. That really, truly, it is a very reliable car.
It does.
The reason we're selling it as-is is because it's got higher miles and it's older.
I would say, if anything, I would lay it mostly on surface rust, which, again, it's an 08, but it is high off the ground. Everything is solid. I don't know what the future is going to hold. Depends on how much you drive in the winter. And it's the year. I think the year is counting against it more than the mileage. 220,000 miles on a Lexus is not much, really.
It's nothing.
Our buddy Tom has a Lexus with, what, he had 400,000 on it before he let it go?
Yeah.
The one you're driving is like 280.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, my rule of thumb with cars, again, is you need 1 year for every $3,000 you've got in it. So if you could squeeze 2 years out of that car, it's major money.
Yeah. I got a text message here. And it's car related. Would you have a possible idea as to what this might be? A car is a 2004 Corolla with 120 on it. Recently had a drain and fill. Synthetic ATF was put in instead of T12. Shortly after that, was corrected with another drain and fill. Now there's a muffled, low-sounding noise while in drive, more so when accelerating with my left foot on, with my left foot is on the brake. There is some vibration. Trans motor mounts, I guess that's a question mark. Boy.
Motor mounts would be possible. If it's making a sound, I mean, not an exhaust sound, I assume. It's like a running, you can tell it's not exhaust. I don't know. It could just be it's running a little bit louder now. I mean, was the transmission fluid ever changed prior to that?
I don't know. It's only got 120 on it, so.
Yeah.
Hmm.
My thing wouldn't be so much the sound. Is it shifting okay? Park to drive, drive to reverse.
Yeah.
When you're accelerating, is it shifting okay? Those are the keys for what I look for with the transmission. Not so much how loud is it running. It could just be it's running a little bit louder. Now, I think age plays a little bit more of a role than mileage in most cases.
Yeah, so what you want to do is have it on the road and just count the gear shifts and see where they go. Don't, you're not hitting the throttle real hard. You're just driving kind of normal. And see where the shift points are, how many RPMs and what speed. That would be my big concern. For starters, and then kind of go from there. And you may wind up taking it to somebody who specializes in Toyotas. There's two places in Belfast, Don Fauché and BJ's, who BJ's especially specializes in Toyotas, and just have them take a look at it to see if there's anything weird going on there. It sounds to me like it might not be any major issue, but yeah, it is a 2004. It's 22 years old. So,
in my experience, small cars, like small four-cylinder engine cars, this is especially true for Ford Focuses. They'll go forever, but they'll develop all sorts of peculiar little quirks and sounds and gremlins in the machine that nobody can really figure out what is causing them, but they don't really affect it as far as how it runs.
Yeah.
So, again, if it's just a sound and not really a – if it's not so much – if it just seems like it's running louder, but you don't feel the shifting changing, or it doesn't feel like there's a tremendous amount of shudder or vibration or anything like that, I don't know if I would lose a whole lot of sleep over it.
Yeah,
maybe do another drain and fill after 500 miles.
It depends what.
I'm not sure how big a deal the different transmission fluid is.
Yeah, I was going to say if it's a synthetic ATF, that's okay for Toyotas. I don't think it's a big deal at all. excuse me, and I think a lot of the cars that we deal with, we're not dealing with replacing Toyota specific ATF. Well, it's Toyota specific in the sense that it's an aftermarket ATF that is okay for Toyota, as opposed to a ATF fluid that might not be okay for Toyota. And there is a difference, obviously, there. The question is, how long did it run with what conceivably could be the wrong fluid? We can only go so far on the radio with something like this, but first thing I'd be looking at is just where the shift points are and the RPMs at the shift point to see, if it's going up to 5,000 RPM, something going on, and it's not good. The good news is probably if you had to change the transmission for a car like that, it'd be pretty affordable.
Oh, cheap. Yeah.
How many MPGs for the 08 Lexus Hybrid? I would say low 30s.
I'd Google it.
High 20s to low 30s.
It's an RX400H if you want to look it up, a 2008 RX400H.
Yeah. It is all-wheel drive. It's front engine, rear wheel. It's electric. All right. And we're just about out of time, Pete. How about that?
Hot dog. I don't think we covered anything except for that one question.
Well, that's helpful. I mean, if somebody's
got that one question, and neither one of us are experts, so we're like, take it to mechanic.
Well, we've been through it. The thing I was thinking about this the other day, we've been doing this for 11 years. We didn't know we knew something about cars 11 years ago. After hundreds, a lot of hundreds of cars, we have a little bit of experience. Not a tremendous amount, but enough to at least realize if we're in trouble or not. Anyway, yeah. Pete, I got to let you go. Thank you. I'll see you
all
in
right,
a while.
See you.
And everybody have a great week. A happy Father's Day to all you dads out there.
There's that pocket full of miracles. And with a pocket full of miracles, the world's a bright and shiny apple that's mine, all mine. I hear sleigh bells ringing smack in the middle of May. I go around like there's snow around. I feel so good, it's Christmas every day. Lee, Ife's a carousel, VR as I can tell, and I'm riding for free. So if you're down and out of mirror